We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Woody Otto is an executive coach. She is a former Olympian. She is the host of the Untrained podcast, and she is the author of Body Image Inside Out. Welcome to the show, Whitney.
Thank you so much, George. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you on. Tell us a little about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
So I live in Cambridge, Mass, outside of Boston. Finally, the light is returning. I can tolerate being on the East Coast. I currently work as a podcast host. I'm an author and I do executive coaching. So I work with folks day in and day out who are living very busy lives, leading, managing a lot, and trying to help them have a better life, a more connected life, and a more efficient life. So there's more time for themselves. I came to the work from nobody sort of is an executive coach. You come to the work either from the work route, like being in corporate America, or as a therapist. Those are two more common routes. And I was a therapist for a number of years, and I worked specifically with eating disorders. And I had also developed a model of working with body image, both from personal experience of healing negative body image and from doing it in my day job. And I partnered with Deb Schachter, who is a dear friend, and we started running workshops. And this is 20 years ago, and really developed some unique perspectives and tools, and then decided a few years ago to put them in a book because she's still doing eating disorder work day in and day out and body image work. And we shared them. And so that's what Body Image Inside Out is all about. And I'm going to say there's a lot of overlap with the podcast I have, Untrained, which is basically about untraining from toxic productivity. And the similarity with both of them is that we turn to creating an outside goal, right? I want my body to look like this. I want my achievements to look like this, thinking that it will help us feel better. It would help us feel more fulfilled. And it's very prevalent. All those promises and that patterning is very encouraged in our culture. So those are two things I'm passionate about, is helping people bring a lot more awareness to how that plays out, how that leads to satisfaction and dissatisfaction, and where that might be stemming from. So that's a lot. Where do you want to go?
No, I appreciate all of that. When did we start calling problems with food eating disorders, and when did we start realizing that we had negative body image problems? Have these things always been present, or we just started noticing?
Well, eating disorders have, I think it's like so many things. I think they've been there for a long time, but treatments, there's more and more treatments, there's more and more awareness. I think negative body image is something that has been around for a long time, but it's getting more attention. People are more aware of it, particularly because I think social media is turning the dial way up. It's triggering more and more negative body image, but there's also more and more responses to that negative body image, with people say, you know, having different approaches for how we can deal with it and how we can manage it. And I think one of the very common approaches these days is called body positivity, which is an approach that says, you know, so we have unconditional positive regard for our bodies. Like, let's just accept our bodies, love our bodies. And Deb and I always found we failed at that approach when we tried it ourselves. It didn't really work for us, which is why we developed this approach, which was getting more curious about our negative body image, really diving into those bad body image moments and days and seeing what we can learn from them, being curious and going towards it versus I'm kind of going to ignore it. My body's great. And, you know, I always say if body positivity works, great. But if it doesn't work, I think, you know, it's just great that we have different options out there. So what do you think of when you think of negative body image? What's your experience with it in your communities and the people you know and love? Like, what do you see and hear about negative body image?
I'm fascinated by all of it. I'm fascinated by body positivity. I find it to be so interesting. I'm 6'1" and should probably weigh about 185. At points in my life, I've weighed 225 and probably weighed 170. So I've fluctuated. And so when I'm overweight or whatever it might be, whenever I look in the mirror and I'm not happy. Mm-hmm. What it does is it just reminds me that I need to get back to my more positive habits. I need to stop drinking so much beer. I need to stop eating so many French fries, whatever it might be. I need to start exercising more and taking better care of myself. I don't know that I ever wanted to affirm or make it okay that I was engaged in an unhealthy activity, because that's always been my correlation, whether that's other people's experience or not. It's self-inflicted from my perspective, my personal problems.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And I think that's absolutely very common. And one of the things that we like to separate out is that so often we folks think that negative body image and sort of distance from some beauty ideal that we've been offered or health ideal, that they're synonymous. That I could look at a lineup of 10 people and tell you what their body image is like based on, again, how close they are to this said ideal. And we really propose that there's something else going on, because we all know people that fit the ideal but have lousy body image, and people who are distant from the ideal but have really good body image, right? And also that we in our own bodies can have different experiences throughout a day, right? You could have a day where you feel great in the morning, but maybe not so great by the afternoon. Your body didn't change. It couldn't physically change. So that's where we coined the idea of the body self, that we have our body image, and then we have our body self, which is influenced by our emotions, our past, our traumas, things, messages people have said to us, our physiology, our temperament, so many things. And to develop a relationship with that body self is really what we're teaching folks, because the one thing you can count on is that our body will continue to change. Maybe we get back on those health habits, but we're going to age, or we have an injury, or we get pregnant, or whatever. Our bodies are always going to change. So learning how to be in relationship with our body self gives us more tools to feel comfortable in our skin.
Yeah. I'm just going to be probably pretty clumsy with the rest of this. So I think that I've always liked the way that I look. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, when I look in the mirror, I'm like, oh, I'm 20 pounds overweight. Mm-hmm. That's not that big of a deal, because I still like the way that I look. I just know that I need to change some behavior. Mm-hmm. I think I'm fortunate that I consider myself to be a reasonably good looking guy and whatever. Mm-hmm. Is that a common experience, or am I in the minority of being happy with my physical appearance, even if I'm a little overweight or something like that?
Well, I do think women tend to be more critical of themselves than men do. We are trained to be.
Yeah.
We are trained to put a lot of value on our bodies. The forces that be in marketing are trained to tell us we're not enough, that we need to buy something to change something. You know, you've got social media putting forth images that are not always real. So there's a lot of, I think, reasons why women are sort of trained to be a little bit more critical than men. But I think that's really also healthy to sort of be able to say, to hold both, right? And that's sort of part of what we like to help folks with. So let me walk you through sort of how we deal with a negative body image. Maybe you deal with maybe you've got more like a health image, right? That's not the body image that gets you, but like the health, the the accumulation of the health habits and what's going on there. But if we're in a negative body image moment, you know, can often be prompted by a big event like a date or an interview or a presentation or something that gets us a little reunion, a little riled up. We're trying to find something to wear. Nothing seems right. And we tend to say, there's something wrong with me. I need to fix myself. That's the problem. And if I were thinner, if I were bigger, if I were whatever, if my body were different, I would feel different. And so we really like to invite folks to say, oh, at that moment, at the moment you say I need to fix myself, to say, I'm having a bad body image moment. And what, and to get curious, because instead of going down that trail of action and change, further confirming there's something wrong with us that needs to be changed, we like to say, okay, well, what's going on here? You know, so for you, it might be like, well, what's been going on that I, you know, I've really fallen off my health habits. What's the broader picture here? Okay, I've been stressed about this, or this has been going on, or I didn't have enough time because I was putting my energy over here. Naming that, sort of like a reporter without any judgment, but just here's the snapshot of what's going on, what might be challenging. So that's what we call the outside curiosity. Or it might be like, I'm having a bad body image moment because I'm getting ready for a date and I'm really nervous. And I think if I get the right outfit, you know, I won't be nervous, or I'll feel confident, or they'll like me. So that's the other thing we really, the other curiosity we'd like to invite. If I was doing daily trips to the gym, then how would I get to feel about myself? What's different? If I did nail this outfit for the date or the interview, would I like to feel? Would I like to feel more smart? Would I like to feel more fun-loving? Would I like to feel more grounded? Because when we know what we want to feel, that also gives us information that's more unique to us. And it gives us other ways to try and get that, right? Because I can, you know, if I'm gone away for a vacation in somewhere warm and I've just left New England, I'm probably going to have a bad body image moment, right? But I practiced myself saying, well, Whitney, if you had the six pack and you could trounce around the pool, what would be different? What would you get to feel? So actually not much different, right? So it's really challenging ourselves, or being curious with ourselves, to learn more about ourselves. And the last piece is always just compassion. Like, oh yeah, it makes sense that you haven't been able to get to the gym because like you're taking care of a sick parent and that takes a lot of time. Yeah, I have compassion, right? Or it makes sense that you're nervous about this date. You know, it's the first person you've dated since you were divorced. Yeah, that's really vulnerable. Let's bring some compassion. So it's just such a different response that we like to invite people to practice than there's something wrong with me and I need to change and fix myself. Because we can do that for the rest of our lives. But interrupting it and to just practice some curiosity, compassion, and non-judgment can build some different muscles in us and help us start to have a relationship with our body self. And back to sort of what I was saying with you, that we can hold both. I can be like, oh, I don't like anything. And okay, I don't like how I look. And I have a little bit more understanding of why I'm having a hard time and why my body is such a focus for me right now.
I agree with everything that you said. And so thank you for that. Going through my mind is the idea of sort of contentment versus happiness, because my level of contentment, the way I think about that, that's who I, that's like my resting heartbeat. And then ice cream makes me happy, and dropping the ice cream kind of makes me sad. And an outfit certainly makes me happy. A new pair of shoes, happy, whatever, but that's not going to influence the way that I really feel about myself. And I get to choose the way that I think and feel about who I am as a person and my body. What do you think about that?
So what's your proposal for contentment versus happiness as it relates to our relationship with our bodies, with our body self?
So I think that certainly agree that if I have a like a presentation coming up and I do think, okay, what do I want to look like on the stage and what kind mm-hmm. of clothes do I want to be wearing and how do I want to have my hair? Mm-hmm. Those are not trivial, but certainly not nearly as important as the way that I view myself just as exactly. as a person.
So I would say that the muscles of how we relate to ourselves with kindness, with compassion, with curiosity, going for alignment, help build contentment in our relationship with ourselves, help build stability. Happiness might be like, oh, my friend gave me her old blazer and it looks amazing and I'm so excited for this, right? Might be that like spike, but that contentment, I would say, is, you know, picking ourselves up off the floor when we say there's something wrong with me and saying, there's not something wrong with me. I'm having some unmanageable feelings. There's a different way to relate to myself. So I would say those are building a more contented relationship with ourselves. I mean, I was never after, you know, happiness in pursuing a better body image. I was after not hating myself. I was after not feeling profoundly uncomfortable in my skin. So contentment is a beautiful word. And from the word I use is peace, like mm-hmm. just more peace, more contentment. But does that answer this great question that you proposed? At least from my perspective?
For sure. Yeah. I'm too reductive of a human being. I try to really boil everything
down.
I
boil down. We'll boil together. Do you want to add something? Do you want to counter?
No, I don't know that I want to counter. I don't think I want to counter any of it. I don't think that when I consciously am engaging in behaviors that are making my body not feel good or not look good, I am aware of that. And therefore, I am not happy or even I'm not pleased with myself. I'm disappointed in myself because I know I'm engaging in behaviors that are detrimental and negative and making me feel bad physically and then bad mentally. And so I'm going to at least try and catch myself and say, hey, guy, buddy, what are you doing? We need to somehow shift these behaviors. And why am I doing these things?
So a big influence for our book is a modality called Internal Family Systems, which is created by Dick Schwartz and among others. But it was something that we were each using in our personal lives, personal recovery, and in our clinical and coaching lives. And the idea there is that we have, it's not just George. It's a lot of different parts that make up George, right? You've got George that knows how to perform no matter what on this podcast. You've got George that has these healthy behaviors. You've got George that drinks too much beer sometimes. You know, we have different parts, as do I, as do all of us. And we have parts that go, I hate the way I look and I'm going to change something about myself. And that when we get to know that, we're taught by our culture, that's a bad part. I need to overcome that part. You know, I need to get rid of that part. And our approach is, ooh, let's get to know that part. Let's get to know the part that goes down the negative health behavior route willingly and see what that's about. Understand what is the gain there? What are we getting out of it? How is that somehow serving George, or how is that serving Whitney? And when we go that way, we learn so much, but we've been trained, that's a bad behavior. I want to get rid of it. And again, we just take a very different approach of like, let's just love on this behavior in part with so much curiosity and see what we can learn. You know, Dick Schwartz's motto is like, he wrote a book, there's no bad parts. But when we like push them down, we don't understand their motives or how they think they might be helping us out.
A question that you asked or statement that you made earlier, what's really going on here? Mm-hmm. And digging into that, steering right into that curiosity, steering right into those negative feelings or whatever it might be with that sense of or approach of curiosity to try to start peeling back those layers and get down to what's really going on here. So instead of rejecting and being mad at myself because I'm doing X, Y, or Z, I lean right into it and try to go as deep as I can to get to any underlying problem, unresolved issues, whatever it might be.
100%. Yeah. And I think that, you know, in a lot of my work, I mean, the book is entirely secular, but, and Deb and I don't share this, but personally, like I have a very strong faith background. And so much of what informs a lot of my work is sort of how we've been taught to have, you know, a very curious, loving God that, that wants to know us better. And so I, that sentiment, that stance, I think resonates with me when I think of internal family systems or when I think of approaching ourselves with that sort of exquisite love and curiosity, even if it's a bad behavior or something that we don't like about ourselves. And I just mentioned that because I know this is a big part of your...
Yeah, certainly.
Your thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So what do you think about that?
Well, I think a lot about it. I think a lot about about all these things. You know, it's not dissimilar from if I am just constantly broke and if I find myself in credit card debt all the time, I can get mad at myself if I want, but that's not really going to help me solve the problem. And I'm better suited getting really curious about it and giving myself grace and compassion and digging into why it is that I keep engaging in the same behaviors, why I'm following the same patterns and routines. I think that there's probably a lot of crossover between these two areas.
One other thing I want to say is that obviously as a coach and Deb's a therapist and we ran workshops, I'm such an advocate for hearing from other people with similar challenges or getting people to help you with something that's really, if it bothers you or it's been hard for a long time. Because I think particularly if we come back to negative body image or a lot of these negative behaviors, they're very often trained in isolation. We're training in our mind, oh, there's something wrong with me. I need to fix myself. I hate myself. But there's a lot of hope in that, right? If I get my body right, then I'm going to get all the promises that the culture is giving me. That I'll be loved, that I'll belong, that I'll be happy, right? All of these things. So I just think we sometimes body image is trained in isolation and healed collectively, right? So that's why we love the workshops because people can come together and go, oh my God, I'm not the only one at all. And that's so healing. Or, you know, again, working with a nutritionist or a therapist to have somebody to support us in the places where maybe our patterning or our thinking is really entrenched. I just think that's also, I'm just always an advocate for that because that's been such a huge part of my healing journey. And I think we are relational creatures. And so much of what we are wanting with this ideal body or the beauty or the change body is to belong and to feel connected and to feel seen and feel cared for. So any way we can get more of that in the journey of our recovery towards a healthy body image is going to be part of the healing and the restoration. So I just say that because, you know, we talk about self-help and we've got a book and it's a very individual thing, but as to the extent that you can make your journey a more relational journey, I just always am an advocate for that. What do you think about that?
I love it. You saw it. Is it learned and trained in isolation? Learned in isolation?
I say trained because I was an athlete, trained in isolation and healed. Or I say that negative body image is an individual sport. Healing negative body image is a team sport.
I think that that's awesome. And certainly all the different things that probably lead us to these problems are exacerbated by them. And if I'm on social media, it's just, I probably think that I'm just more and more alone and it's just me.
Right.
I'm flawed or defective.
Everyone else has it figured out. Nobody else is aging. Nobody else has weird belly rolls. It's just me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that makes so much sense. Belongingness. Tell me more about that.
Well, we were writing chapter four, which is all about your, you know, your body holds your story, right? It's the longest relationship you'll ever have in your life. It's taken in every experience you've ever had and stored it, right? That's powerful. And we were struggling with chapter four until we realized there was a chapter five, which is body image and relationships. And, you know, when we are born, we are mirrored by our caregivers. We talk about, you know, the mother or the early caretakers as our mirrors before we know about mirrors, before we know about the word body image. And they're reflecting back to us how much we matter, how much our needs matter, our joy matters. And our caregivers may or may not have been set up for success in themselves as caregivers. And that early mirroring impacts us. And that as we evolve into our family systems or where we are growing up or our cultures, we want to belong. As mammals, we are hardwired and we will change ourselves to belong. We will show up in ways that get rewarded by the system, right? So if I really love to have fun, but I've got a lot of siblings and I'm the eldest and I get rewarded for helping out, I might show up as a helper, right? If I'm very introverted, but I get rewarded for being funny, I might show up as funny. You know, there's 8 million different varieties of this, but that we will shapeshift, many of us, in order to better belong to our systems. And we say that's like early training for shapeshifting our bodies or shapeshifting different parts of ourselves to show up in a certain way in the systems we end up in. And those early family systems, there might be sports cultures, there might be school cultures that have certain ideas about bodies, and our bodies may get a lot of messages about how they're supposed to be. And those tend to, unless we really untrain that, those tend to stay with us through our lives. So that's our approach to this belonging, and that there can be stipulations on our bodies for belonging in certain cultures, or there can just be early training that you need to show up in a certain way in order to receive belonging.
I think that makes perfect sense. And, you know, I think that we can all sort of go back to all those different friends groups or human systems or whatever and say, oh, look at that. I did adapt. I did start wearing my hair a certain way or wearing whatever it might be. It's fascinating.
Yeah. And the path of coming, what our hope is with the book is that when we get in greater touch with our body, it helps us learn more of our own authenticity, of what feels good to us, what we need, and trying to get our needs met not through a size, whatever, two sizes smaller or bigger muscles or whatever. There's several different ways to get our needs met, but we have to first understand what those are, and then we have to learn so that our body's not having to work so hard for us and we have different ways. So the ultimate goal for us is I know what my needs are. I'm more in touch with who I am and how I like to express myself and how I want to live my life. Like the goal is more authenticity and support in our lives.
I love everything about that. And that's, yes, getting down to who it is that we really are. So beautiful. Well, Whitney, thank you so much for coming on.
I had a great time.
Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage? Tell us about the book. Tell us about the podcast.
The book right back there, Body Image Inside Out. You can get that wherever your books are sold, Barnes & Nobles, Amazon, bookstores. we have a website, Body Image Inside Out. We have some upcoming live workshops. If you want to come to Boston or going to be in the Boston area, we'll get one for clinicians. We find nutritionists, therapists are very drawn to the work because they see this issue so often. So we have one for those. We are on Instagram, Body Image Inside Out. And you can also follow me if you're interested in any of the executive coaching, toxic productivity stuff. If that resonated, on LinkedIn, Whitney Otto.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show any of your appreciation, share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to bodyimageinsideout.com. Check out everything that Whitney and I have been talking about. Pick up your copy of Body Image Inside Out wherever you buy your books. And you can follow her on LinkedIn and Instagram as well. I'll certainly put all those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Whitney.
Thanks.
Till next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.